person in this story, the poor young man. And the rich man had a traveler that came to his house and he wanted food. And like I said, the rich man wanted to give him lamb steak. When I went to the Middle East, they did serve delicious lamb steak. It was delicious. Or lamb is a food over there that they eat, a meat that they eat. But instead of going to the great herds that he had and getting his servant to get one of those lambs to kill it and dress it and to cook it, he went to the neighbor next door and he got the little pet lamb and he killed that and dressed it and served it to his traveler. Well, when the prophet told David this, as the king, David's wrath was great. And he said that this rich man that did that, he said he shall die for what he did. And not only that, he said from his estate, he'll restore to that poor man fourfold, four lambs for the one that he took and killed. And he said he did it because he had no pity. As soon as King David pronounced this judgment on the rich man, the prophet, the preacher, his name was Nathan, he said, yet a man. Or he said, in biblical terms, thou art the man. He revealed suddenly, and it came suddenly to David, that David was the rich man in his parable. And that poor young man was Uriah, one of his mighty soldiers, a young poor soldier that was in his army that was even then fighting away from the nation of Israel, fighting one of David's great battles, and victoriously and honorably fighting for him and for his God. And what a sad thing, because David realized the story of what he had done. And what had David done? While this man was out fighting his battles, David one night, as a man in his 50s, an older rich king, went out on his porch and he saw a young wife, a beautiful woman, bathing. And he saw too much of her. And he looked and he lusted for her beauty. And King David did a great sin. He sent his servants to get that beautiful woman and bring her to him, where she was overwhelmed with his power and his wealth and committed adultery with David for that night when he did that thing. And when that happened, it was a terrible thing, but right after that, word was sent to David that that young lady in her 20s, was impregnated by the rich king. And David was, my, oh my, what have I done? What must I do? And he said, I will get her husband to come back from the war, and I will entertain him and send him home so he can be with his wife, and he will think he's the baby's father. And he did that. But no matter how hard he tried to get Uriah to go to his wife, Uriah, in his honor and his valiance, said, no, no, my fellow soldiers are out there on the battlefield. I will not go home and eat my food and be with my wife and enjoy the pleasures. He said, I will not do that as long as the men of God are on the battlefield. And David could not get him, no matter how hard he tried to do that. So he was set back. And David said, oh my, what must I do? Now David committed a sin, but now he was going to commit evil. He said, I've got to cover this up. I cannot let this come out. And he sent word to his general, Joab, and he said, you put Uriah right up against the wall of the city, and right where the battle is the hottest, and then withdraw from him the support so that he'll be sure to die. And Joab said, I'll take care of it, because the king had great power. And Joab did it, and Uriah was dead. He took his wife and took her into his home, into his harem, and she became his wife. Now, it was all over, but it wasn't over. It wasn't good. And God sent his prophet to King David, this young man called Nathan. And he said to David the story I just told you. And then he said, thou art the man. Thou art that rich man. You had wives, you had riches, you had everything that you needed, but you took that poor man's lamb. And thou art the man. And David realized what he had done, and he repented of the great sin that he had done. And I'm saying that God always confronts his people through preachers with their secret sins, and this sin especially of lust for the opposite sex, as it says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, that God is an avenger, listen to me, of all that do this kind of sin. So my sermon today on this Father's Day is unfortunately not really a compliment to fathers and men, but a confrontation for you if you're involved in impurity. And when it says you're the man, it's not you're the man, complimentary. It's thou art the man that has been involved in this impurity. And by the way, it could be applied to women as well. It could be said, thou art the woman. I remember many decades ago pastoring this church, and nobody here today would know of whom I speak. It's been decades. And I remember I had a head usher of our church. I guarantee you nobody here knows who I'm talking about. This is way back. And that head usher was a faithful man, a man that I counted on, a man that was a good man, and he was faithful. And he had a wife. He had a wife. He was a young man, a young wife. She had a friend, another married lady in the church. And there was another usher, and he was a young man, an exchange student. And he was a member of our church, and he was serving as an usher under this lady's husband. And while her husband was hard at work, this lady began to flirt with this young usher. And her friend began to be flirtatious with him, this exchange student, who was from another country. And she would flirt with him. And then invite him into sin. And they kept doing it. And finally that young man succumbed and committed adultery with the head usher's wife. And I was preaching one day, and I preached a message called, you're the clog in the pipe of revival. Just like a plumber can have a clog in a pipe, and until it's removed, the water won't come. I said, the flow of the Holy Spirit in our church won't flow out, and we won't see people saved like we should, and we won't see lives change as we should, because you're the clog in the pipe to revival. And when I preached that message, that young man that had committed that sin because that woman enticed him came up and admitted it. And the sin of this woman came out, as well as his sin. And it was sad because as a result of that, there are always consequences. You say, well, what was David's consequences? Well, David's consequences was the preacher said, You said fourfold you should restore. I'm going to take four of your sons, God said, away from you. You're not going to die, David, but I'm going to take four of your sons. And in a sense, that's more painful than you dying. And he took the baby that David and Bathsheba had. Even though David fasted and prayed that God would spare that baby, he would not do it. The consequences. You can choose to sin, but you cannot choose the consequences.
Right.
And the second consequence was that his son Amnon fell lusting for Tamar, who was a daughter of another one of David's wives, and he raped her. And her brother Absalom killed him. And that was Amnon. So now David lost the baby, his son Amnon, to death, as well as his daughter was raped. And then Absalom, when he did that, all kinds of problems developed, bitterness between he and his father. Absalom was exiled for what he did. He came back, and but he built up animosity, and Absalom then led in a rebellion against his father. And the general of David called Joab, even though David said, "Do not kill my son," he stabbed him three times in the chest with darts while he hung from a tree by his long hair. And now his third son was dead. And then David, as an old man, ready to die, on his deathbed, appointed Solomon to be king. And everybody was praising Solomon, but his other son, very good looking and very charismatic personality that some people followed and wanted to be king, this man connived to be king, and Solomon saw it and said to his general, Benaiah, go and kill him. He is trying to usurp authority. And he, Adonijah, was killed, and that was the fourth son of David that was taken. When this lady did this sin of this with one of my ushers, I said, you cannot be together in the same church. I tried to counsel the husband and wife and help them get through this time. And I said, with you in the church, after this being done, I said to the exchange student, I'm sorry. And he was very grieved, and he went off, and his life did not really prosper. The husband and the wife struggled. The husband was never the same. And eventually they got divorced. And sadly, she went off into a lifestyle that very ungodly. The name of my sermon is Thou Art the Man. Thou Art the Man. Could it be this Father's Day that Thou Art the Man? Or could it be this Father's Day that Thou Art the Woman that is hindering? I'm just saying that's what happened. And let me say to you dads, you that are dads, and you single men too, and also possibly some of you that are women, could it be that this morning thou art the man? I think of the boxing matches that we saw. And I didn't know this was going to happen, but it does often happen in boxing matches. You know what happens between rounds in a boxing match? A girl comes out in short shorts with a round one. How many have seen that? Nobody's going to raise their hand, huh? I tried to get you. And they come out and they do that. And I looked over at him. I looked over at him, and I see him doing this. No. He's doing this. And I'm doing this. And Jose Valley's... No, he's... They're all doing the same thing. And I realized that. But what do you do when you're alone and the pastor's not there? And the youth pastor's not there? You're walking in a mall, or you're walking somewhere, and do you take that second look? Do you oogle what you see? And then, after you take that second look and you oogle, do you savor it? Do you look, and does lust affect your heart? The Bible says, mine eye affecteth my heart.
Right.
And by the way, we're in the summertime, and you ladies that wear those shorts, you ladies that wear that immodest clothing, you're committing adultery with that man.
That's right.
You say, how am I committing it with him? Well, the Bible says that he that looketh upon a woman to lust after her committeth adultery with her in his heart. That's her part. That's her part to draw it out. And I'm saying that your eye affects your heart, and that you can look, and that can lead to lust in your heart, and then having that lust in your heart releases endorphins in your body, and that can lead to you doing it again and doing it again, and guess what? You're hooked on it, and it becomes a habit. And when it becomes a habit, now it defines your character as being impure, as they say in the vernacular, creepy, and a dirty man or woman. I was counseling young women and saying, well, that was just an old man. I can't figure out why I'm creeped out. It's just an old man. I say, there are a lot of dirty old men. And there are dirty old women. And dirty young men. And dirty young women. You say, what are you saying, preacher? I'm saying thou art the man this morning. It's not a compliment today. It's a conviction. Thou art the man. 2 Samuel 12:7. And I know when Israel was defeated in battle at a city called Ai, when they were fighting for the promised land, Joshua was told by God, get up off your face. There's sin in the camp. You got to find out who is the man. Who the man? And Joshua was instructed to draw lots to find out who it was that was causing the defeat of the armies of Israel by Almighty God. And who is it that may be hindering the blessing of God in this church? When he drew from tribe to tribe of the 12 tribes, the tribe of Judah was taken as the guilty tribe. When he went from patriarchal family or grandfather or great-grandfather to great-grandfather, the family, the patriarchal family of Zabdi was taken. When he went through those fathers in that patriarchal clan, man by man, the father on that fateful Father's Day by the name of Achan was taken. And he was taken and told, thou art the man. Now I confess what you've done. And here's what Achan said. It was for the battle of Jericho, and everything in that city was to be put into the treasury of the Lord. That was the first of 10 cities, and the tithe is always the Lord's. But Achan said this. He said, when I saw, I coveted and took them, and they are hid under his tent. He saw something that was supposed to be given to the Lord, and when he saw it with his eyes, his heart coveted or lusted for it for himself, and he wanted it in his heart. And when he wanted it, he took it. And then when he took it, he tried to hide it. But guess what? Bible says, be sure your sin will find you out.
Right.
The word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to dividing asunder of soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. And you say, what does the word of God say to me today? Thou art the man. Thou art the man. And so Achan chose that sin. What were his consequences? His consequence was that he was taken and given stoning, and he was stoned, but so was his family, because his sin had spread to his family. You see, you know sin in a vacuum. Impurity is not in a vacuum. It spreads to others. It is a very costly sin. That's what 1 Thessalonians 4 in the New Testament is saying. And so Job himself realized, I don't want to be the man. Job realized, I don't want to be on a Father's Day, the man pointed out by God and the man of God for hindering revival or bringing defeat to the family or bringing defeat to the worshiping congregation. And so Job said this. He said, I have made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? You see, Job, not just when he was with others, did this when he saw a maid. He did it all the time.
Good.
All the time. And he had made that covenant, and he stuck with the covenant. By the way, when a man gets married, he makes a covenant to forsake all others. David had everything he needed. God had said, I gave you everything, and if that wasn't enough, I would have given you this, that, and the other thing. But David, you see, let his eyes get the best of him. And then he lusted in his heart. And he was the man. Do you know that a lot of women are getting involved in pornography? Do you know how they get women into pornography? They do it with an emotional hook, because a woman wants that emotional connection to that man. And they put that emotional story in there, and then they make the graphic scenes worse and worse until she's hooked into the physical deeply. Thou art the woman. And I'm saying, I have known women that had to take their books and throw them out. Their romance novels, throw them out because they were full of it. Throw out their movies that they're watching on their videos. Because thou art the woman on this Father's Day. And what a sad thing that is. Job determined, I am not going to be that man. I think of another man in the Bible. He's a hero of faith. David, a great man. I think of another man. I will say this about David. David repented.
Amen.
And the Bible kept using David as the standard for purity and for righteousness for the rest of the kings of Israel. And David in the kingdom will be a great man that will rule Israel. He's the one king that will rule over Israel. He has not lost that reward. He did pay, though, terribly in his life. There is terrible payment. But, I think of another man who was a great leader, who will be in heaven, who is in heaven, is in Hebrews chapter 11, but he never got the victory over his eyes. He kept looking at women, and it was his Achilles heel. And finally, it got so bad that God let him be captured, and his eyes were burned out, so he couldn't even see anymore. And that man's name was Samson. Thou art the man. Could it be somebody here that has been doing this and is a believer, but You, like Samson, just keep going back to it and going back to it and going back to it. And one day he lost his eyesight. Thou art the man. I don't want to be like that. And his parents had to bury him. And what a sad thing that is, because he was being chastened of Almighty God, because God always gets his man. I said, God always gets his man. So if thou art the man, you need to repent and get it right with Almighty God, like David did. And I remember when I was in college, I went up here to Baptist Bible College. Now it's Baptist, where's the Bible? And then it took off Baptist, so it's neither Baptist or Bible. But I remember going there, and it was a great school at the time. And I remember making commitments to be a pure man. I remember making commitments, never wanting to get into any sin, like looking to lust upon women, committing masturbation, committing fornication, just being a faithful man. I was 19 years old, right around that age, there in Clark Summit. And I remember hearing a message by Dr. Stephen Olford, who is the pastor of the Calvary Baptist Church in New York City. I remember going to New York City, seeing his church, and I heard that message. And he was talking about 1 Thessalonians 4 that we read. And he said, you need to possess your vessel in sanctification and honor. And the vessel could be either your body or your wife, that is the wife of your youth. You need to have her as your only one. And if you're not married, which I wasn't, you need to possess your own body in sanctification and honor, not in the lust of Cupidism, starting flirtations. When I first came to school, I remember flirting with the girls that were single girls there, and God convicted me after that, and I stopped flirting with girls. I spent a time where I stopped dating girls altogether and just prayed about my wife, and I took it very seriously. Alford quoted what Jesus said. He said, out of your belly there shall flow rivers of living water, speaking of the Holy Spirit flowing through your life. And he said, your belly is the innermost part of your being. Spiritually, it would be your spirit. Physically, it would be your sexuality. Out of your belly does Jesus Christ reign in your sexuality. You know, people can feel creepiness. It can come out of the mouth. It could be seen in the eyes. It could be seen in the heart, stare, in the heart, the attitude. It could come out. Ruth was known as a pure woman. Boaz noticed that. And that was the time of my life of the greatest purity, of the time of great temptation, but great purity. And I remember God used that to bring my wife to me and bring us together in holy marriage. And what a blessing that was. I remember going down to Florida for a summer. I went down to Florida for a summer. And I'm thinking of Potiphar's wife. Joseph was a young man. And he went down to Egypt. And every day Potiphar's wife would look at him, saw that he had a good build, that he was a goodly man, young man. And she was a married woman. But every day she would solicit him to get him into sin. Finally, one day, I believe she had the whole house cleared because she knew what she was doing, and he was the foreman in the house, but the work crew wasn't in there. She had him removed because she knew what she was going to do that day. And she grabbed him and pulled him to pull him into the bed with her, literally. I mean, she went ballistic. And he pulled away and ran away, and she had his garment, his coat, cloak, and she held it and started screaming, "Run! Rape! Yeah, it was rape. And she told her husband, you know, he tried to rape me. And he went to jail for that. I remember going down to Florida as that young man. And I was working between my year of college at Baptist Bible and my next year to earn money. And I worked outside doing underground water sprinkler systems. And I had a crew of guys, and we would come back and come into the office at the end of the day. I had this deep suntan, the blue eyes with the deep suntan, 19 years of age, rippling muscle, you know, the body of a young man. And I remember coming in, there was a divorced lady there. A good-looking lady, very good-looking, divorced. And she was watching me come in. And she just kept inviting me to her house to have dinner and spend the night. Look at me, I'm not praying yet. And ending the message. Everybody look. And I said, uh-uh. Not me. I'm not going there. You say, why not? The Bible says flee fornication. There's a certain point there's a point of no return. I wonder if some lady in this church has been propositioning some young man to come to her house. If you do, thou art the woman. Just like that woman that I mentioned, that was the head usher's wife. You see, are you that dirty old woman? Are you that dirty middle-aged woman? Are you that dirty young woman? You'll never be satisfied by going that route. You see, our bodies are the Lord's. The Bible says your body and your spirits are the Lord. He made you and He redeemed you, and He will hold you accountable for how you young men, you realize that. You young men, you realize the Bible says the adulteress will hunt for the precious life, and you are the precious life. Right. And Dr. Jack Hiles told us when we went to Texas with him that they had him all set up to do that sin, fornication. And he said, if I would have fallen to it, he said, there goes pastor school. There goes youth conference. There goes a whole lot as a consequence of my sin. It can be very tempting. It can be very deceitful. The Bible calls it deceitful lust. But listen to me this morning. You need to have your eyes on Jesus. You need to have your eyes on the unseen things of the Lord. Because those things are real. They're eternal. These lusts and women to guys, it's a very powerful thing. It could be an idol in your life, a big idol, and it causes endorphins to shoot into your body. You say, how can you preach on this as a 73-year-old man? Because I'm still in good shape. That's right. And I feel it just like a young man. I have to deal with it. And I'm glad I do. Because I'm not out of touch. I'm not out of touch with what's going on. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman. And you need to get your eyes on the Lord. Now listen, a lot of people are going to die and go to hell. Because that's all they've really known. They've never really seen Jesus. I'm so thankful that as a 17-year-old, my grandmother told me about Jesus being God in the flesh, dying on that cross and splitting the curtain in the temple so that I could and anybody could go into heaven and have fellowship with God from that time on. And I believed on the Lord Jesus. I looked to Him who was invisible. And one of the things that convicted me as a 17-year-old was Jesus saying, he that looketh upon a woman to lust after hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And I realized I'm guilty of that one. I'm going to hell. Thou art the man, Randy. But then when I heard about Jesus, I took a look at him. And I find out he breaks the power of canceled sin. He causes me to look to something that is real. And I had to look to him. And I was saved and I've been looking to him ever since. And I need to look away from the things of this world that want to distract me away. And it's while I was walking with God and looking to Jesus and being pure that God was taking my wife and forming her and preparing her and causing her to fall in love with me and to want to marry me. And God gave me the greatest gift of my life next to salvation. But listen to me, lust can take that away in a moment. And you have two things that think. One is up here, but the other has no sense. No sense. No sense. And once that thing is allowed to ignite, there's no coming back until you pay, unless God somehow marvelously intervenes. But don't build a doctrine on God's mercy. Thou art the man. Thou art the woman. May God help you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed on this Father's Day. Every eye closed. The first thing I want to say is, have you looked to the Lamb of God and trusted him as your Savior to take away your sin? And is he your new head who now controls your life? Because if you really look to him as your Savior, he's now become your Lord. As soon as you believe, he's not only your Savior from the penalty of sin, but he's your Lord that deals with your power of sin in your life to break it. Have you ever had that saving grace experience in your life? I wonder if you say, yes, Pastor.